I'm so happy that I am a survivor of abuse.
From Crossroads Media, this is See Hear Love with Melinda Estabrooks, Season 10, Episode Number 4.
Well, welcome to See Hear Love, and we have a very important, challenging show for you today. And why this show? Well, over the years, a number of women have asked me to do a show on violence and abuse against women. And some had survived abusive and violent relationships. Some were friends of women who were in violent marriages. And some were impacted by their girlfriends who were in these abusive and violent relationships, and they didn't know what to do. So they wanted See Hear Love to have an honest conversation about violence against women so that we could help many, we could help women escape, we could help women recover and heal, and also know how families and girlfriends could support those in these relationships. So thankful that we have Wendy Butler, who is a survivor of domestic violence and the CEO of Bon Ami Community Services, with us to share her story. Welcome, Wendy. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And beside you is your bestie. You let Wisdom St. Louis, who is a friend of Wendy's, who helped Wendy leave her abusive marriage and is also the director of the Bon Ami Community Services. And I'm so thankful that you're both here, that you said yes, and that you were willing to come on and share about your story. And I think it's important. For 4 years, I've been told, do this show, and it just did not feel like the right time. And then when I met you at a conference that I was speaking at, Wendy, you came right up to me and you said, have you done a show on violence against women? And here is my story. And so thank you for the courage to come and talk to me. And here you are. Here you are. But let's talk about the statistics and problems. I actually didn't know how big this problem is of violence against women. What I'm hearing and reading is 44% of women, or 6.2 million women aged 15 and older, have reported some kind of abuse in their intimate partner relationships. Wow. That's staggering. The other statistic I have here is every 6 days, a woman in Canada is murdered by her intimate partner.
Yes.
Like, it gives me chills. It just grieves me to know that this is what's happening with our sisters, people around us every day. So Wendy, I know that you are one of the 44%. I know that you are one of the 6.2 million.
Yes.
Because you have a story of domestic violence.
Yes.
And would love for you to share this so that we can learn from your experience. And I know later on we're going to talk about Bon Ami Community Services and how they can support women. And also hear from you, Let, on the friend and how she helped you. So let's hear your story now about the abusive marriage. Were there signs, how you met him, and then how you left?
Yeah, so first, I am so happy that I am a survivor of abuse. My story is such that as a child growing up, I experienced abuse at the hand of my biological father within our home. And I promised myself that I would never, ever marry anyone that was abusive like my father was, because he inflicted pain on my mother, myself, and my brother. And that was a horrible experience for me. And I must say that when I attended university, I remember a term that was used by one of my professors, the self-fulfilled prophecy. Mm-hmm. And it's defined as a process through which a original false expectation leads to its own confirmation. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I found myself in the same situation as my mother. And so I thought that I met my Prince Charming. I met him when I was in high school. And, you know, we went our separate ways because of an incident that I noticed. It was a red flag. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to continue. I'm not going to continue in this relationship. But we rekindled, you know, the love that we had. And eventually we got married. And unfortunately, I saw the red flags but continued in the relationship.
What were those red flags? What kind of red flags?
I saw things like him raising his voice at me, or if we were in public, he would, man, it's so hard. He would, you know, raise his voice at me in front of people, and he would say, "You better so-and-so, or I will." You know, I ignored those signs because, again, love blinds your eyes. And he was a very accomplished person. I thought we could do life together. So again, I ignored those signs. And for me, during this, before we got married, I saw everyone around me getting married. Mm-hmm. I thought I was getting older. I thought almost becoming 30 was old.
Girl.
But of course, yeah. You know, I was young.
Yeah.
And I had my life ahead of me, but I still continued and I still moved forward in this marriage. And in the marriage, it started to intensify. I mean, I was being abused both physically, emotionally, psychologically. It was rough, but I still stayed in because I stayed within the marriage because I was ashamed. I didn't want anyone to know that Wendy, who looks like she has this perfect marriage, is being abused, and so I stayed and I suffered silently.
When you say, like, psychologically, I mean, the physically, I understand. But you said the psychologically and mentally, emotionally. What does that look like?
Yeah, so, like, the name calling. Oh. Or I would say if my abuser didn't like something, it was you better or else. So I knew that something was going to come after that. So in my mind, I felt like I was, my self-esteem was being cut down. Yeah. Wow. I felt like I just wasn't myself. I wasn't the same Wendy when I entered into this marriage. I was breaking down.
Yeah.
Yes, very fearful. Yeah.
Did you sense that as a friend?
Sense it? No. When you talk about situations where publicly being embarrassed, I recall a particular situation where we were celebrating the day after the wedding, and there was a raised voice, and it was in front of a group of us. And I remember hearing it, and I, as the friend hearing it, I was, huh? And I recall you being, you explained it away, is what she did. Oh, he just wants me to change my, and it was about what she had on. And knowing Wendy before that, Wendy was always, you know, we would go out and she'd look, put herself together, look good and stuff. So what was being made a big deal about, I wasn't seeing it. So that, that I think that that's where, you know, the buildup of the fear and, you know,
And being physically abused, did you have to cover up? What was that experience like for you?
Well, the physical aspect of the abuse was very troubling. I remember there being an incident where we disagreed upon something, and I do remember getting hit in the face, and I had to cover up. I couldn't go to work. My employer didn't understand in that season why I was calling in sick so frequently, so often. But it was because I was trying to cover up the marks that was being placed on me.
Wow.
And so I was in survival mode, I would say. And, you know, makeup was my best friend as well. And it was a hard season in my life.
How long did you stay with him?
I stayed in the marriage. I would say we married in 2005 and finally left in 2009 when I became pregnant. That was the last straw for me, because during the pregnancy, the abuse started to intensify.
Okay.
And, you know, thank God for a praying mother. I thank God for a praying mother who would intercede on my behalf. I want everyone to know I did not tell anyone.
You didn't even tell Yulette.
I did not tell Yulette. I didn't tell one of my other best friends. I did not tell anyone. And my mother, one day, she said she had this dream. And she said that, you know, God is showing me that you're not okay in your marriage and you need to get out. And I ignored those signs. I ignored, the advice, and I ignored, you know, the signs. And I said no, because I believe that this person is going to change. And I thought to myself that, you know, I'm a professional and I'm able to change my husband at that time because of all, you know, the strategies of counseling that I learned and that I had. And I was always, you know, helping other people that were going through some of the same, the similar experiences that I was having, but they didn't know that I was going through it.
Right.
So.
But it took you 4 years to leave. And I know you said because you got pregnant, but for yourself, I know it's that I want to protect my baby, but why not protect you?
Well, again, until you're in that situation, I mean, I know, like, I'm just want to, you know, just mention that it takes, and I do believe these stats, it does take 7 times for a woman to leave. So I was going to my mom's house, returning, going to my parents' house, returning, right? And
because why? Is it financial? Is it fear of being alone? Is it like, there's many reasons.
So many.
So
you know what? It was the fear of being alone and the fear of having a failed marriage. You know, I didn't want anyone to know that or to ever think that Wendy wasn't perfect. At that time, I thought of myself as being, you know, this perfect person, well put together.
Okay.
And a failed marriage would have been devastating for me. And, you know, within the church itself, you know, we talk about divorce where, you know, you shouldn't divorce. The Bible talks about divorce. And so there are many people that believe, which I do not agree, that you should stay in a marriage regardless of what you're going through. And I stayed. I didn't believe in divorce at the time as well.
So you are alone, you are ashamed, you are afraid,
yes.
And yet you still didn't feel like you could reach out to anybody.
No. She isolated.
And she isolated.
I believe she, when the Wendy that we would know as girlfriends would pick up the phone, and sometimes you wouldn't, we wouldn't be able to get a hold of her, right? There was a point that, his career took him outside of the country, and Wendy went with him. And even further isolation, like, you know, in hindsight, looking back now, she was now in a foreign country away from her friends. And even at that point, the call home, or, you know, when you do get a message from her, it wasn't, everything is good, I'm okay, I'm fine. You know, it was the constant shield of protection of this person.
Yes, I do remember that. Yeah. I do remember that. And I think that the cycle of abuse is real. Mm. I mean, with the cycle of abuse, you know, there's this tension building where, you know, your abuser, he is, you know, you're the victim, you're walking on eggshells. The abuser, he is, you know, there and just waiting for a situation to happen. And then, you know, he just unleashes or explodes on you, you know? And had quite a few violent incidents. And then there's that reconciliation where, you know, there's that honeymoon stage where, you know, there's the sorries or the gift giving, and you know, you're thinking to yourself, hey, you know, this person has changed. And then there's
and
a
calm. And it goes back again.
There's
so
a calm.
And then it goes back again.
And then
again.
It goes back again. Mm-hmm. So it's real.
It's so manipulative.
Yes.
Yes.
Very.
Yeah. Very manipulative.
Controlling and manipulative.
Yes.
Probably
yes.
Narcissistic
yes.
as well.
Very, very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so. Very much so.
So what did it take for you to leave? So we know the statistic that you said it takes 7 times
yes.
for a woman to leave their abuser for good.
Yes.
That for someone who doesn't understand that, I can't, but now listening to, I get it. It's like all of these shame, mm-hmm. control, financial reasons, mm-hmm. children. For some women, they have children.
Yes.
And they might not have the financial means That's to right. leave.
Yes.
Shame from family, from yeah. church, yeah. cultural expectations.
Yes.
So many yeah. things on a woman.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
And yet, you left, and a lot of women do need to leave.
Yes.
So
yes.
what did it take?
Yes.
And then I want to talk to what you let too about her helping and supporting in that. So
yes. So we had an incident where the abuser, he was my husband at the time, he was up in my face because of an incident that had happened. And at this time, I would say I was about 4.5 months pregnant. Mm. And it was, I had to decide life or death. Because when you're pregnant, you have to be very careful in how your baby is being nurtured in you. And at that time, I chose life. I chose a healthy pregnancy for the baby that I was carrying. And when we had that incident, I called the police. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing that you shouldn't do in Christendom. You know, you don't call the police on your spouse, okay. right? So I...
From your church culture experience.
Well, my church, at the time, at the time.
So they would say, don't call the police on your husband.
Well, I'm just saying in general, like okay. that's, you know, I've heard of that okay. where, you know, you don't, you know, call the police, not at the local church, but I'm just saying in general, that's okay. what, you know, you don't call the police. Everything that's in your house stays in your house. That's our culture.
Right, yeah.
And I finally built up enough courage to call the police.
Good for you.
Yes. Oh. And I ended up going to my parents' house. Okay. And it was the best thing that I could ever have done
yeah.
for myself, for my unborn child. He's now 14. He's thriving.
Amazing.
Our son. Yeah. And yes, that was the best thing.
So you let in this, so yeah. she leaves. What transpires? Because I think there's a lot of viewers and listeners who are like, I'm the friend, I'm Yulette. Hmm. And like, I didn't know, I now feel like, oh, I wish I'd known. What are the emotions for you as you listen to Wendy? And then how did you support her through the leaving?
I think I internalized it in the sense that why didn't she tell me? Why? And I think in Wendy's situation, it was about because there was a physical aspect of it. I moved quickly in my mind as to why she didn't tell me and go okay. to, okay, how can I support her through this? Right? It wasn't asked it within myself. Didn't ask it of Wendy as to why didn't, you know, but you internalize that and try to work through that. But then it's about being supportive. Okay, what do you need me to do? Where do you need me to be? What do you need me to get? And it was, I think I went into fight mode.
Okay.
Right?
yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah.
yeah. I whatever it meant that, okay, I need to get you to an appointment. I need to come to the house. Do you need me to help you pack? Those were things that like load up my car or it was my husband and myself that was going to make sure that, okay, we were helping Wendy to move. There were times that Wendy would come to my house and, yeah. you know, my couch was bed, right? And it wasn't about... It wasn't about me anymore. It was now about, okay, you're pregnant and we need to make sure that the baby's safe, you're yeah. safe,
yes.
but this person is also stopped in their track and they're now aware that others around you, your support system is now aware, and you can no longer isolate her and continue to do damage.
Everybody needs Yulette as a friend, like for real, right?
Yes, yes.
Well, and this is important too, because for some women who know that their friend is in a violent and abusive relationship, they're like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
What you're saying to me, Yulette, is very practical.
Yeah.
Come to my house.
Yeah.
Sleep on my couch. Yeah. It's a bed. Yeah. I'm going to come and pack for you.
Yes.
It's very practical.
Yes.
It's not like you need to know all the answers or theological things or whatever. It's like very practical.
Yes.
Let's get you safe.
Yes.
Yes.
Is what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Let's get you safe.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And I'm going to tell you, I have amazing family and friends who stood by me. They were my pillar. They were my rock. I do remember, you know, when... night, I asked Yulette if I could stay with her for a few days. And she's like, my house is open to you. Mm-hmm. And being pregnant, I was overly emotional. I remember crying in her room, like after, you know, she made sure I was settled in and I was okay. And I said, God, why me? Mm-hmm. Why me? Why am I going through this? God, I'm such a good person. I don't deserve this. You know, why would someone inflict such pain upon me and now our unborn child. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate Yulette and you know, my support system. It was very, very heavy, my support system.
When you left, and I want to get into the Bon Ami Community Services and how you can support women, because I think this is very important that we've sort of shared the problem and then we need some help and solutions. But fear for your life, shame, how have you processed all that? Leaving your husband, going on with your life? Because I want to encourage women. Like it's, you know, I always say my motto in life is today is not your forever.
That's right.
This is not your life right now.
I agree.
So just the both of you, I'd love you to just speak into that a bit about how do we then, it's courage and then sort of the recovery after and here you are now. Like you're alive.
Yes.
You're safe. Like
I
want women to realize that this is possible.
Yes.
But how did you process all of that to get to where you are now?
Yes. Well, I came to a point in my life where I had to say to myself, Wendy, you have to love you.
Yeah.
Self-love is very important. And it's not easy to get out of an abusive situation. I mean, we had it all. We had money, we had the beautiful home, we had great jobs. But that didn't matter to me. My life mattered. Life mattered. And once I got out of that horrible situation, I was able to love on myself again. Yeah. I was able to, you know, I received counseling. I was able to just do me, do life again and start a new chapter.
And I think that's important, the self-love, because I think for a lot of women, we put everybody in front of us and they're more important than ourselves.
Yes.
And then I believe community, a praying mom
and
God just giving you, you know, direction and hope for the future.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have a little bit of time left and I want to talk about Bon Ami because it feels like from both of your stories, this has kind of come out of that,
this
service. So talk to me about what you do and how that's going to help women leave violent and abusive relationships.
Yes. So Bon Ami was birthed from, of course, my traumatic experience. And after my divorce, I had the support of my family and my friends. And there was something that was missing. There was not enough community resources to help me in my situation.
And sorry, there's not a lot of resources? Was there at that time not a lot of resources for women?
Right, right.
Like leaving violent and abusive relationships.
Right, right. And because of that, it negatively impacted my life. I literally found myself... Like, I mean, I love the church and I had, you know, such a supportive pastor even till this day and his wife. They counseled me. They prayed with me. I had the church that helped me as well. But I found myself, once church was over, going home bawling.
Right.
Crying all the time, oversleeping, mm-hmm. Because of loneliness and the shame that I had endured. And so God spoke to my heart about launching a women's ministry called Bon Ami Events.
Yeah.
And we had our first meeting or session in, I think it was February the 1st, 2013.
Okay, and so what is the just quickly, what are the resources that you give to women to help them? Like if they call in or write to you?
It's more about how to get the support you need in the community. And if it's not something that we're able to give you offhand, we can put you in the right direction as to where or whom you need to contact in order to support you and ensure that you're equipped in the services and the supports that you need to get yourself back on your feet.
I love that. This is a beautiful thing that you're doing, but wow, it came from the trauma and heart of the story.
Yes.
But I just want to commend you, so proud of you for taking that and then forming Bon Ami Community Services to help women. You know, we talked a lot about prayer, and to you, our viewer and listener, if you're in need of prayer, if you are in an abusive and violent relationship and you don't have anybody that you can talk to, and that you need courage to leave, we have someone that you can call and who'll pray with you 24/7. Watch this.
I've been fighting depression for years, and some days are harder than others. Your prayers are helping me find peace and a glimmer of hope. You were there for me, renewing my mind with the Word of God.
Oh, we're so grateful we have a team of people who are available 24/7 to listen and pray with you as you struggle if you are finding yourself in an abusive and violent relationship today. Well, what an inspiring conversation with you. Final takeaways to the woman who is in a violent, abusive relationship, and also resources too. Wendy.
Yes, I would say that you are not alone. Help is only a text, a phone call, or an email away. And it's not your fault. I firmly believe that you can survive this. You're a survivor because I am now a survivor. And if you need any resources, please feel welcome to visit us at Bon Ami Community Services, and we'll be sure to help you because we have professionals that are able to help.
Amazing. Thank you.
You're welcome.
My takeaway from this would be as a supporting cast, friendship, whatever it is that you are to that person, be present. They may not tell you in the moment, but still call, still visit. Don't give up, even if they shut you out. Be there and just be a listening ear. They may repeat the story, but give them that space to repeat and that shoulder to cry on because they need that. Just be that support system for them.
And I think my takeaway here would be that today is not your forever.
Yeah.
You know, that God, his spirit can give you the courage to leave.
Yeah.
And that we don't want women to be in shame.
Yes.
Right? That you're not defined by this, but that love yourself.
Yes.
And go and get out of this relationship. Yes. Well, thank you again, Wendy.
Thank
and
you.
And Yulette for being with
thank
us, sharing
you.
Your story, your lived experience. I learned a lot, and I just am so proud of what you are doing now. And to you, our viewers and listeners, join our community, sign up for our weekly newsletter, watch past episodes, read inspiring blogs, and get to know our guests, like Wendy and Yulette, all on our new website at seehearlove.com. And I'd love to hear from you as well. And if you're a survivor, an overcomer, one who is starting again, one who is now safe, one who will be safe soon, know this, that you are seen, that you are heard, and that you are deeply, deeply loved by God, and that you belong. Thanks so much. Thanks so much for joining us today. Bye-bye.
The Bible can feel overwhelming, confusing, or hard to believe. Scripture Untangled, a new podcast by the Canadian Bible Society, brings you interviews with culture leaders, leaders in ministry, and Bible thinkers to help you be inspired to dive into the Bible and understand it. Listen for free and subscribe to Scripture Untangled on your preferred podcast app. Visit scriptureuntangled.ca for more information.
Thank you for listening to See, Hear, Love, the podcast with Melinda Estabrooks. We are able to do See, Hear, Love because of these generous sponsors. Tyndale University. Melinda and I are both Tyndale alumni. Tyndale is where you will experience high-quality academics interwoven with faith and a community of students and faculty that challenges you to live authentically, to follow Christ, and actively engage your culture. Visit www.tyndale.ca. The Canadian Bible Society champions the Bible as the voice of God, revealing Jesus Christ, the living word. Go to www.biblesociety.ca. Please check out these amazing organizations who are doing life-transforming work and who we are proud to be partnered with.